Lord Jesus, may the words of John the Baptist be true in our hearts this morning, that you must increase and we must decrease. God, as I was just sharing with my brother Chris this morning, Lord, too often I'm afraid. I don't mean to do it, but we make much of our name. I try to make much of my name. And oh God, I ask you to forgive me. God, we don't want to make much of Petal First Baptist's name. We don't want to make much of our family name. We want to make much of the name of Jesus. We have lifted up and glorified and declared and said and sung and meant with our hearts, how great is our God. Just watching the power of that thunderstorm that blew through last night, I'm just reminded of the power of God. Lord, I pray that same power this morning would speak deeply into our lives this morning. And it would transform us and change us and shape us into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, you would help us have the ability to give people what they need the most. And that is a relationship with Jesus Christ. God, would you hide behind the cross? Would you give me the words to share in a timely manner? And God, would you give us ears to hear and hearts to respond to that which you will call us to do. Lord, this could be a pivotal moment in some people's lives this morning. I believe this is a powerful message brought straight from heaven's throne to us today, and I pray we would hear it and respond to it, I pray, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you again, DJ, for being our guest. I tried to sit there and think of something I could do, you know, like say Peter and say, yeah, I don't know, but I figured I'd mess it up, so I'll just leave it alone, DJ. You inspire me. I'll come with that one later. That's pretty good. We're so delighted you're here. Oh, my goodness. This morning, Acts chapter 3, we begin a new series, Acts Leaving Earth. We've been using this space analogy over the last several weeks together, the idea of space and rockets and NASA and back in the day of people doing things that were new and different, things that had never happened before. Really, it was a revolutionary thing in their time. Nobody had been to the moon before. We've kind of been using these ideas even when they very first orbited somebody to the moon. There were people jumping in the church day, jumping on a rocket, if you will, the Holy Spirit, and going to a new place they had never been before, even to places eventually, much like we've discovered new planets, they would birth the church in new places that never had heard of the name of Jesus Christ. And I've learned this about it. When God gets ready to do something new and wants us to leave earth, if you will, to leave out of our comfort zone, to do something different and revolutionary, many times God will make us uncomfortable. God will get us at a place where we say, you know what, status quo just won't do. And He'll take us to places where we are kind of uneasy and unsure and maybe even unsteady, because God wants us to know that it is Him and Him alone that will help us to engage in the mission God has called us to. My prayer this morning is that God would help Petal First Baptist to leave this earth. Not only go to the ends of the earth, in Indonesia and Haiti, but for some of us to go to the ends of the earth right here in our own backyard, in Petal Primary School, and in our target neighborhood, or in ministry opportunities that will present themselves in the days and weeks to come. That we will say, Lord, I want to be in a place to be uncomfortable, to leave this earth, if you will, physically, and focus on it spiritually. Today, we want to turn our attention to the disciples and begin to turn our focus as they begin to turn their focus even more outward in the days and the weeks and months that follow in the book of Acts, even into the years that follows. And they make a difference in the lives of people in relationship. Folks, we know this, but we forget it and we get busy. Relationships are where the change occurs. We must be people who are constantly building relationships in our world where relationships are often devalued. It's a text message, it's a tweet or a tweet or a Twitter, or gotten a tweet over a tweet, I don't know. It's an Instagram, it's a Snapchat, it's a Facebook, it's a whatever it is you want to call it. But we've devalued relationships from relationships with the Gospels and Jesus Christ and disciples were primary. And if we're going to make a difference, and we already are, but we want to make a farther, much greater difference than we already are, then it's going to be built with relationships with people. And sometimes, listen to me, it's going to mean we have to get out of our comfort zone to meet people that are not like us, maybe that are different than us. But it's in those moments that, just like in this instance with Peter and John, where God does some extraordinary things in their lives. We have to be careful because many times, and other people too, we get distracted, we lose focus, we forget, we can get disconnected from what we were made to do. Sometimes summer can do that. We get to go to the corners of the earth and vacation, all the things that happen in the summer. And we come back together and we're reminded once again that we are called to be in a relationship with Jesus Christ, to worship and glorify Him, and to invite others to experience what you have found in your life. We set the scene this morning, an incredible story. We come off this incredible spiritual high. The 3,000 were added. People were being added to the church daily. Some Bible scholars say what we're about to read may have occurred as long as a year later from this initial Pentecost experience. It may have only been 6 months. The timing is not the most important thing, but it was not maybe immediately following the Pentecost. In Acts chapter 3, if you have your Bible, if you turn there and also take that outline out of your worship guide, and if you want to use your cell phone or your iPad, you can download that app that's on the Bible app there, and your worship guide tells you how to do that, and you can follow along. All the scriptures are there. The notes are there. You can do that as well. Here's what it says. Now, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the ninth hour, the evening hour, somewhere around 3 o'clock, the evening hour of prayer. And a certain man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried along, whom they used to set down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, in order to beg alms, to beg for money, of those who were entering the temple. And when he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began asking to receive alms. And Peter, along with John, watch this, fixed his gaze upon him, the beggar, and said, and the crippled guy, and he says, "Look at us," Peter says to the crippled guy, "hey, look at us." And he began to give them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, boy, if you can circle some words, these are good ones. "I do not possess silver and gold, but what I do have to give you, in the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, walk." That's some powerful words you just heard. Not in the name of Benny Hinn, not in the name of some healing, somebody that thinks they're somebody. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk! Look what it says, verse 7, "and seizing him by the right hand." It's almost like he was sitting there, he didn't know what to do. Old Peter, he didn't wait. He grabs him by the hand and raises him up, and immediately, circle that word in your Bible, his feet and ankles were strengthened, and with a leap, he stood upright and began to walk, and he entered the temple with a sad face and very solemn and quiet. That ain't what it says, does it? No, no. Walking, what does it say? With him walking and leaping. That's a Baptist word for dancing. Okay, leaping and praising God. And watch this, watch the result. "And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they were taking note of him as being the one who used to sit at the beautiful gate of the temple to beg alms, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him." Wow, what a story. Now let's talk about some things. First of all, let's talk about the infirm man for just a second. The infirm man was incapable of some things. Three things he was incapable of. Number one, earning a living. We know this about the man. He had to beg. He had to position himself at this particular gate because he had to beg. The only way he would be able to eat a crust of bread, something, was to depend upon some pious Jews to feel sorry for him or to feel religious enough to give him some money in order he'd be able to eat. Any good pious Jew would give alms. It was part of their religion. And so to be impressive to God or impressive to others, many times on their way into the temple, behind this beautiful gate, they would go and offer these alms and give them to these beggars or those that were crippled. The man was incapable in some ways in his own life of enjoying life very much. He had been crippled, the Bible tells us, since birth. And we'll read later in chapter 3 and into chapter 4, we know that he was crippled for over 40 years. If he would live today, he would have been in a wheelchair. Right? Told you I was going to talk about you a little bit, Amanda. Randall, told you I was going to talk about y'all a little bit today. I wasn't kidding. Now, Randall and Amanda walked before at this point. They've been crippled their whole life. Randall served in our armed forces. But Amanda's life was radically changed 7 years ago. 7 years ago. That's pretty good. I remember that. That's pretty good. 7 years ago, and in an auto accident, somebody hit them and she was crippled. Now, she's proven them wrong in many things that you've been able to do they said you couldn't do. Now, here's the great news about Amanda. Amanda's enjoyed her life, so has Randall. They've made the best of what has happened in their life and their circumstances, and your smiles mean a lot to us. But you understand what it's like to not be able to do things you want to be able to do. Most of us can't even fathom what that's like. Now, some of you had knee surgery, and you've gotten kind of down, and Miss Eva Brewer's here on a crutch. She had some surgery a while back. It kind of hinders you a little bit. But this man, for 40 years, over 40 years, maybe 43 years old, just to make it really personal. I'm 43, I'm about to be 44. He had been sitting for how many years at this gate, hoping somebody would give him some money every day so he'd have something to eat. I don't know about this. I think for certain, perhaps he'd heard of Jesus, he'd heard of the apostles, but his life had not been changed. The third thing we noticed about him, he could not enter the temple. He was incapable of entering the temple. This is very important. Don't miss this. In Leviticus chapter 21, verses 16 to 21, look at what it says, if you will, about this. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron, saying, no man of your offspring throughout their generations who had a defect shall approach to offer the food of his God. For no one who has a defect shall approach a blind man or a lame man or the one who has disfigured face or any disformed limb, a man who has a broken foot or a broken hand, a hunchback or a dwarf, or one who has a defect in his eye or eczema or scabs or crushed testicles. No man among the descendants of Aaron, the priest, who has a defect to come to near the offer the Lord's offerings by fire, since he has a defect, he shall not come near to offer the food of his God." What did that mean? That meant that this guy that was disfigured, he was crippled, was not allowed into the temple. Now, some of us think, well, good grief, that seems really terrible. Why not? Is it because God didn't love this guy? Well, no, but in the Old Testament, remember, it was a foreshadowing of the picture of the holiness and righteousness and perfectness of God. And that God had set it up in such a way that Jesus would come, the holy, the righteous, the perfect sacrifice, and give access for everybody to God. And there we see the picture of what it means to be outside of the presence of God. And for 40 years, this guy had been longing to do one thing, to go to the temple, and he couldn't do it because he was not allowed to go. And so he sat as close as he could outside of this most beautiful gate, perhaps wondering and wishing that he could go. We notice the second thing about this man and about Peter and John. Second thing, intersection. Let me grab that scripture. Back up there, if you will, Michael. I'm sorry. Listen to what Romans 5:2 says about Jesus. Through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into the grace in which we stand. And we exalt in the hope of the glory of God. Grace lets us stand before him and be in his presence. Notice that second thing, if you will. Intersection brings opportunity. Intersection brings opportunity. Now, when you drive to work tomorrow, to school tomorrow, now that we're at Highway 42, we've really got some intersections now, don't we? My goodness. I think we need about 9 more stoplights down Highway 42. It'd be awesome, wouldn't it? Just to make the journey a little bit longer. I would enjoy a couple more turn lanes, and that would be great. But we go through a lot of intersections. On your way to Hattiesburg, you go through Highway 98. There may be about, I don't know, 7,000 intersections to get to Oak Grove. There's just lots of them, right? We go through intersections every day. But not the physical that I'm talking about. I'm talking more about the intersections of our lives. We intersect with people all the time. And they are incredible opportunities that many times, if we're not careful, we will miss. We drive through them without thinking about them. And so the question we ask ourselves, like Peter and John, are our eyes open to the intersections of our lives or divine appointments that God has orchestrated for you to come across that person? Do you ever think about in your day, the intersections of your day? Maybe think through last week about somebody that came across your path and you would think in a moment, man, did I share the gospel with them? Did I take a moment to pray with them? Did I listen to them? Did I share something with them? You see, Peter and John have been preaching to the massive crowds, right? These massive crowds, 3,000 being saved in one day. But notice Peter and John now are kind of narrow focused in, because what do they know? Relationships count. An intersection brings opportunities. Many times our problem is they are usually come, these intersections, at inconvenient times. We don't have enough time. It doesn't make sense in our schedule. We've got to get somewhere. It doesn't fit in what we're trying to do. And too often, me, I don't know about you, but too often I choose my agenda and my to-do list and my calendar over God's agenda. And God's just really challenged me to say, Brad, stop. This morning, I was running around like a chicken, my head cut off, just so many things happening, and I was running and getting a chair, and I ran out of, I walked quickly out of my office with that chair, and I don't know how I could possibly miss this, D and Chris, you'll love this, I completely ran over the dehumidifier. I mean, ran it slap over and turned it upside down. And I had to stop and say to myself, Brad, if anybody was around me, I talked to myself a lot, I said, Brad, slow down. So I slowed down instead of 20 to about 10 miles an hour so I didn't completely run over the thing. Here's the problem. We are in such a hurry. We're in such a focus, such a fast pace of our lives that we miss the moments that God puts before us. Moments to see God move in extraordinary ways. And here's the incredible thing about this intersection. This man is thinking for a moment he's going to get some spare change from Peter and John. And people say, notice Peter and John, the Bible says that he looks at them, right? And Peter and John look at him. But then somewhere Peter says to him, look at us. What was the problem? Let me tell you the problem was he was looking at Peter and John's hands, not at their face. I'm reminded of my own journey sometimes when I go to God, I'm looking at his hands of what he's going to give me, and I forget to look at his face. And so God has to say to us, just like Peter said to this crippled man, look at me. And he says this incredible word you've heard before, silver and gold have I none, but one thing I do have. He wanted some spare change. And Peter and John said, dear friend, you think that's what you need and what you want, but I'm going to give you not change from my pocket, but change for eternity. I will give you the living water. You will thirst no more. Jesus said, I am the bread of life, and he will hunger and thirst no more. He shares the gospel with this man. Intersection brings opportunities. Notice the third thing, impart to others what you know and what you have. Too oftentimes we hear people make a lot of excuses of why we can't. Why I can't share with somebody the gospel. Why I can't pray with somebody. Why I can't do this or do that. It's not comfortable. It's not my thing. I don't know. I don't have time. I'm too busy. Let's just all be frank and put it out there on the thing. Everybody in this room, for the most part, is busy. Can everybody just say, uh-huh, if you're busy? Anybody say, uh-huh, if you're busy? Right? Anybody got 20 extra hours every week you just don't know what to do with? Call me! On the line, you can't. No, that's sorry. That's call me, and I'll be glad to help you find something to do. Nobody has that kind of time, but too often we're like, oh, man, I'm so busy, as if nobody else is busy but us, and we're busier than everybody else. Folks, we're all busy. That's not the question. The question is this, will we impart with others what we have? And we say, well, I don't have the experience. I don't have the time. I don't have the resources. I don't have money. I don't have this. I don't have that. Let me just tell you something. All that people at the end of the day need is for you to give them what you got. And let me tell you something. Jesus is enough. Jesus is enough. So if all you can do with somebody is pray for them, then praise God. If you can meet a physical need financially, then do it. If you can meet a need here spiritually or emotionally, then do it. But the bottom line is, it's not about us. It wasn't about what Peter and John did. It's what Jesus did through them that made the difference. We need to impart, to give what we have to others, to be a difference maker. And Peter and John taught this guy some lessons. He didn't want this man to be a beggar his whole life. Many times we've got to help people, not just give them a fish for the day. We need to teach them how to fish. And I'll talk more about that in just a moment. We need to be a difference maker. That's our vision, by the way. To be a difference-making church. But he can't use us if we're busy making excuses or whining about what we have or we don't have. We got to stop procrastinating. We got to help those who can't get up themselves. And we have to give what we have, no matter how small or how large it might be. But the main thing we have to give them is Jesus. We can give them food, but we got to give them Jesus. We can give them shoes, but we got to give them Jesus. We can give them backpacks, we got to give them Jesus. We can give them uniforms, but we got to give them Jesus. Now, here's the kicker about that. In order to give them Jesus, we got to build a relationship with them. And so what will be a tool that God can use to open the doors of relationships? Listen to me. Open the doors of relationships. Here it is to share a uniform and shoes for people to know that we care. And we really genuinely care. We're not just doing it because we don't think of anything better to do, or we just should because that's what people ought to do. We do it because we care. We're going to have some of you and this sign-up list was a huge sign-up list out in the foyer. We need a lot of people. We need about 100 people in my mind to make this thing happen. We had a family that got to come early this week to get some uniforms. In fact, they're here this morning. We're so glad they're here. But got some uniforms, and in my mind, I thought we'd just run in, hand it to them, and well, it's going, wow, you know, men don't think about things like this. And so these kind of, we were talking a little bit. We got to think a little differently. We got people need to try on stuff. We got like a little try-on area. Well, that's going to take a lot of people and time. So we're going to need some help. We're going to ask some of you to be a guide and to meet people at the door and to introduce yourself and spend an hour with that family, walking with them, eating with them, asking them who they are, where they are, what's going on in their lives, have a chance hopefully to share the gospel with them if the Lord opens that door, but to pray with them, to encourage them. Can you imagine? I get so excited when I think about this. I can't even stand it. I just got this vision, this parking lot full of people that we've given food backpacks to over the weekend, and they walk in the store, and they meet a smiling face, and they're scared, and they're afraid. They don't know what's going to happen to me, and some people are going to need it. Listen, some people are on the take. Let's just go and put that out there, folks. Let's get it out there. Some are on the take. It's okay. Okay? Let's just all say it together. It's okay. Say it with me. It's okay. It's going to happen. That's not my responsibility. That's God's and their responsibility. I'm just called to be faithful to give. Good. Four of you agree with me. Praise God. That's my responsibility. Now, I know that, listen, but here's the kicker. This is huge. Hello. Here's why I want to build a relationship with them. We don't want to give them a handout. We want to give them a help up. I want to say to my brothers and sisters who live in Petal, Mississippi, who will come in these doors, in the name of Jesus Christ, you don't have to stay there and live like that. Get up and walk. But listen, that will not happen unless I build a relationship with them. I build a bridge to them and help them and encourage them and love them and help them and care about them. Are you with me? Some of you are going, holy cow, way out of my comfort zone. Awesome. Sign up then. You're ready to leave Earth. Well, I can't guide anybody. I can't. Oh, yes, you can. A lot of you are professional talkers. I've been around you. And I can say that because I am one, DJ. My wife will tell you, I'm a talker. I can talk. I can't boom, but I can talk. But you know what? I'm going to be honest with you. Listen to me. They really don't want a relationship with a preacher. They really don't. Now, they're nice. That's fine. I'm not saying that. But you know the relationship with? You. And somehow I build a relationship with, but a lot of times I don't want to say I'm the preacher because then that messes it all up. And then all of a sudden, they change. It just happens. Kind of like the cartoon. Roy Hilton asked me to look at Dennis the Menace yesterday. It's the cartoon. It's a little boy. Dennis is talking to the preacher, and his dad's behind him. He said, I'm going to tell you what, that wasn't the best round of golf my dad's ever played, but it was the quietest round he's ever played. That's what happens. We want to build a bridge, a relationship with people. We don't just come in here and hear it, take it, and forget them. No, we want to build a connection. Right, man, I got this dream. Maybe it's just a high pious kind of dream. I don't know. But help these people that come in, we build a relationship with them. Then we're going to offer things once they find the gospel and find Jesus and help them find jobs and get resumes together and help them have financial classes so they can get out of debt and get out of poverty where they're living. And so then they can in turn help somebody else. Did anybody else see that vision? Is it just me? Am I just crazy? Can y'all see that vision? And I have this other crazy vision of every church kind of working this through. So we start them in the primary school, and if we don't get reach them, they're going to pass them off to the Summit Church in the third and fourth grade and say, we didn't quite get them, but hey, go get them. We've worked this far with this family. You go take it to the next level. Well, that means you might not be a member of Petal First Baptist. So? It didn't say go make members of Petal First Baptist. It says go and make disciples. Kingdom. Moving them through. Y'all are getting close to me like Mount Vernon. Y'all have wowed and said amen a couple of times, and I got to hurry. My wife fussed at me last week, and I was way over time. Way over time. It's a record last week. All right, and here we are. Invite others to rise and walk. Here we are. You ready? I'm going to blame it on her. Invite others to rise and walk. That's what 311 night is going to be about. We want to invite others to rise up and walk. You don't have to stay where you are. The power of the gospel can transform you and change you of everything of who you are and where you are. Right? Has it transformed your life, church? DJ, do you see why I struggle? I need to pastor a black church. I just not made to pastor a white church. I said, has Jesus transformed your life? Yes or no? He has, right? He's transformed my life. So as a result, if he's transformed my life, then I have something to share. I have something to offer somebody. Not who I am, not what I've done. In the name of Jesus, you can rise up and walk. But it has to happen in relationship. We can't just do it just, well, let's just do it and hope they'll get it. They won't. We got to invite him, and that invite comes from relationship. Peter and John made a connection with this guy. Notice what happens. Incredible miracles occur in the name of Jesus. Don't miss this moment. This guy had been crippled for 40 years in an instant moment. All of a sudden, we're not talking about he had to get on crutches and get in a wheelchair. I mean, folks, he could not walk, period. He had to be carried to this spot. And the best I can illustrate it for you, man, it'd be like if I was Peter, and I'm not. No way. And if we lived in that day of that kind of miracle like we lived in that day, so I'm not sure we really, it may happen, but it's rare. But if I had the ability to come and wow, you know, and do that thing on you, and all of a sudden, you know, I pulled you up, and out of that chair you came and you walked, and that would be awesome. But that's what happened. There was no rehab. There was no, well, let's just give him a few minutes. Folks, the Bible says instantaneously he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus. There is no name under heaven, no name under heaven but the name of Jesus Christ that has the power to save, the power to heal, and the power to transform in our lives. There is no other name. We sung about it. How great is our God, the name above all names. We see it happen throughout the book of Acts. We don't have time to look at all that because y'all just, it's not enough time. Philippians 2, 9 through 11 tells us that Jesus was bestowed upon him the name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, those who are in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue will, W-I-L-L, not if I want to, but they will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Even Satan himself will bow on bended knee before Jesus Christ and say, you are Lord. I look forward to that day. DJ, you're going to have to come back to church every week. You're going to have to move from Picayune to here. Thomas Aquinas was telling Pope Second the Innocent. He came in one day to visit with the Pope, and the Pope was counting the money. And he looked with his prideful look to Thomas, and he said, Thomas, no longer can the church say, silver and gold have I none. And Thomas Aquinas said, and no longer can she say, rise up and walk. Listen, the church in America in many ways has become impotent. And I don't mean the sense of these miraculous healings like that. I'm just talking about offering people the gospel. And saying to people in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk in the powerful name of Jesus. Folks, we need that kind of power. I want that kind of power. I want to have that kind of influence. I want God to use me and you and our church family and other churches in this city to rise up and say to people in this church and this city, rise up and walk. Notice what happens. Immediate worship follows. Immediate response of worship follows. This guy gets physically healed. Tells us he gets up. He didn't do what a lot of people would have done. He didn't get up and run home and go see mama. Mama, daddy, look what happened. He didn't go tell his friends. Do you know what he does? Oh, don't miss this. Do you know what he does? He goes to the disciples and he leaps and he runs and he begins to praise God and he goes to the one place for 43 years that he had longed to go, where he had not been allowed to go. But now he was healed and made whole both physically and spiritually in an instant. And he runs into the temple, which represented still in many ways the presence of God. What a visual representation to those Jews who watched that happen right before their very eyes. Psalm 27, verse 4, one thing I ask of the Lord, and this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all my days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. Folks, that's why this preacher talks about. Too often we take for granted and as if church doesn't matter and we can miss whenever we want to miss and do whatever it is we want to do. But folks, this place is the place where we gather to worship as the body of Christ. And I don't know about you, but I want to say, God, better is a day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. And I don't want to be 43 years outside of the presence of God. We must not take it for granted, dear church. There are people who would die to be a part of something like this. They would give their lives. And too often, well, if it fits my schedule, if I feel like it, if it works out, if I don't have this conflict or that. And I'm going to be honest with you, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you to do these things. We have all kinds of things happening on Sundays now. You should never happen on Sundays. I just want to encourage you, dear church family member, that I love you. But is this true of you, that better is a day, 1,000 days, or one day in the courts of God better than 1,000 elsewhere? Is it? Can you say that with this crippled guy? You know what happens is, we've gotten too far removed, I think, from the day we were crippled and sitting in front of the gate in the sin of our lives when Jesus reached down, by the way, you were crippled, and grabbed you up, and you forgot what that was like. We need God to take us back to our crippled moments when we found Jesus Christ and we couldn't wait to be in God's house and wait to be with God's people, and we couldn't wait to worship. And nobody had to beg us and plead with us to respond. We just did it because our hearts were full to be blessed, be in the presence of God with the people of God. Mercy. Last ones. Involve the fulfillment of prophecy. Don't miss this, and our time is short, but listen, he's quoting from Isaiah chapter 35, verse 5 and 6, Luke chapter 7, verse 22. Watch what happens. Jesus comes, and these disciples are feeling the same thing. Watch what happens. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped, and the lame will leap like a deer. That's why Luke used this word leap, by the way, because it came straight out of Isaiah. I'm not going to leap for you, because I'm not sure what the leaping looks like, all right? But I don't think it was just a... You know, I think this guy was running, doing aerobics. I mean, he was doing PX 90 times a million. Are you with me? I mean, he was excited. I believe he got, Paul talks about it later on in the Bible, I think it's 1 Corinthians, he said he just got beside himself because of what God had done. Involve prophecy. And lastly, notice this, it involves and it illustrates a beautiful picture of salvation. Here it is. And listen to me carefully, these last two things, and I promise you, we're done. I promise you. And that's going to be 8 more minutes, but I'll be done, okay? Listen carefully. Some of you here this morning, you need to see this picture of salvation, because you do not know Christ as your Savior and your Lord. And this is what this day is all about. Outside of worshiping our Savior, it's about people finding Christ. So listen to me carefully. First of all, we notice with this young man that he was impoverished. He was poor. And we as sinners are bankrupt before God, just like this crippled man. He was destitute, unable to pay or do anything for himself. We're unable to pay our debt of sin to God. Impoverished. Secondly, iniquity is innate in all of us. Folks, sin is passed down from Adam, our father, all the way down to us. I don't care how sweet and precious and wonderful your little child is. My sweet little Emma, she's learned the word no. And we've gone to the little electrical outlet. There's one right here. And she'll look at it and put her finger out there and go, no, no. Stick it in. They're born with it. It's innate inside of us. Notice we're isolated from God. This young man, this crippled man, this man, he was outside the temple of God. What was represented is the presence of God. As sinners, we are separated from a holy God because of our sin. But great news. Christ came and died on the cross for us, and in an instant moment, just like with this man, just as it is with you, salvation is a moment that is instantaneous and complete. In the moment you found Christ, for me, it was November the 7th, 1979, I got every single bit of God I was ever going to get. I got it all. It was complete. I was saved for eternity. Not because of who I am, not because of what I've done, but because of who He is and what He did for me on my behalf. And as a result, it is done, it is finished. And by the way, your salvation is not based on your commitment to God, it's based on His commitment to you. Aren't you glad about that? I know that I am, because my committer sometimes gets broke, and I'm sorry and worthless. But God, in His mercy and His grace, says, it's not based on who you are, Brad. It's based on what I did on Calvary's cross and the commitment that I made to you when you said, I want you to be my Savior and my Lord. It's instantaneous and complete. It is impossible without Jesus. Be very crystal clear. I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father but through me, Jesus says. It initiates joy and praise in you and others. Again, it's why I love it. We clap when people get baptized. Why? Are we clapping because we did it perfectly and the baptism looked great? No, we're celebrating new life. What was once dead, it's now alive. Jace and Gavin didn't have just a sin problem, and we need to make them better boys. Listen, they are dead in their trespasses and sin, but now because of Christ, when they found Christ as Savior and Lord, and this is just a picture of that, they are now alive in Jesus today. Are you alive in Jesus this morning? Do you know Him as your Savior and your Lord? If not, you can find Him today. Notice the last thing that happens. This is critical, and here I am. I'm done. Identity changes. Identity changes. What does that mean? We're going to find out about this man. There's more about this story. Well, we've only just scratched the surface about how his identity is going to change. Listen to me carefully. If you have found Christ as Savior and Lord, you will be transformed and changed forever. Do you hear me? You'll be changed. Now, identity means, like, did he get like a new, like, clothes and a new body and a new driver's license and a new... No. It wasn't like he went into a witness protection program and got his identity changed. What I mean, I'm talking on the inside. I promise you, at 8 years old, when I found Christ as Savior and Lord, I woke up the next day, I may have been more ADD. I don't know. God didn't cure me of that then. Still hasn't. That's fine. Makes me depend on Him all the more. God didn't make me into this loud, bubbly, bouncing... My teachers probably wished that they would have, but He didn't change this very quiet little child. That's shocking, isn't it? I know. Didn't. But He changed me on the inside of who I am and who I was to become. So let me ask you a question this morning as we close. What are you in need of this morning? This man, this crippled man, was in need of something. Some of you this morning need some things from Jesus. Some of you this morning need the touch of Jesus to raise you to new life. That's what you need Jesus to do. You don't know Him as your Savior and Lord. There's never been a moment where you've asked Him to step out of heaven and into your heart, where you've admitted that you were a sinner. You've asked Him to forgive you of all of your sins. That you would believe that He is the Son of God, both with your head and with your heart, in such a fashion you would confess Him as your Savior and commit your life to Him as Lord for the rest of your life. That's what you need from Jesus. Jesus, I need You to save me. Some of you this morning are in need of courage. Listen to me carefully. Some of you have made a decision to trust Christ as your Savior and Lord, but you've never made it public. And I want to encourage you today. Today is your day. And you need to say, God, give me courage. Some of us think we have to stand up here, we're going to like pass out. You won't. God will give you courage. You need to come make a decision public to be baptized, to join this church family. Some of you are in need of wisdom. Know if this is the church family you need to be a part of. Some of you need to be, the Lord, to make you aware of the intersections of your life this week. God, make me aware. In need of boldness to impart to others what you know. In need of a fresh touch of Jesus. Some of you need some desire. You need Jesus to give you desire to want to be a part of a 311 night. Because you're thinking, I don't want to be a part of that. But I'm praying God's going to just pow, boom, as He would say, right on top of you, right? As DJ would say. He would say, yes, I'm going to be a part of that. I want the desire to be a part of that. And lastly, some of you are in need of a physical or emotional or mental healing in your life. I visited with Tanya Collins, one of our church members yesterday. She's in ICU, has not been doing very well. And I promised her today, I said, we're gonna give people the opportunity. In just a moment, I'm gonna give you an opportunity. This is gonna be bold for some of you. I'm gonna ask you to stand if you're in need of healing. I'm not gonna ask you to say anything. I'm just going to ask you to stand. If you're in need of a physical or a spiritual, emotional, whatever it is your healing is, and God's been speaking to your heart, I need that. I'm going to ask you to stand, and we're going to pray as we move into our time of invitation. But I promised her that we would pray. I promised we would pray for Jimmy Clark, the pastor at Vision Baptist Church. He's been diagnosed with stage 4 esophageal cancer. It's not looked good. We promised we'd pray for him. Folks, I want to remind you, in the midst of difficulties, God is still in the healing business. Tony, I want you to come up here just a minute. And if brother wants to come with you, he can. Come up here just a minute. I want you to see something. God is in the healing business. This is my friend Tony Marino. And Cam, superhero Cam. Some of you know them. I think most of you do know them. God has given me the incredible opportunity to connect with two beautiful girls who have leukemia. And there are days when I whine and complain that I have it rough and I have a bad day. But I never had chemo. I ain't lost my hair. I haven't thrown up over a toilet a lot of times. I haven't had to give my bone marrow away. Superhero Cam gave his bone marrow away. We've been praying for this family. Many of you have been praying for them, and we had a conversation. Remind me when that conversation was. It's in the spring, wasn't it? Last spring, I guess. Maybe March or April, somewhere in there. We had a conversation, and the news was not good. We had a conversation about what death was about, didn't we? We talked about that. That was not a pleasant conversation. We talked about heaven, but we began to pray. And her mom and dad prayed, and you prayed. And now for the third time, through God's miraculous touch on this precious baby's life, she is in remission. Yes. God is still in the healing business. Now, sometimes God chooses to heal, and sometimes he does not. And that's the part we don't always get this side of eternity. But I know one of the reasons why God has done it, and I'm going to keep it right here. There are other reasons. This involves some of you. For you to see it and find faith because you lost it. And you don't think God can heal your circumstance. If God can heal leukemia three times, God can heal you. And by the way, before I let her go, blood drive next Sunday morning. The sheet's already full, but you can write your name on the green page. We're doing a blood drive in honor of her. She needed to have lots of blood and platelets and things like that, and we can be a part of helping bless and honor her by giving blood next Sunday. We made it convenient for you right after church, and into the afternoon you can be a part of that. One more time, can we just say praise God for Tony and Cam? Can we just do that? Thank you, guys. Thank you. Lord, I'm going to ask you to come, praise band, praise team. I know our time is up. It's 11:42, and the water slides are ready, and pizza's almost here. But before we get there, I know that got you excited, but I want you to zoom back in for just a second, okay? All of what we've done this morning is designed for one reason, for this moment right here. So please don't miss it. I beg of you, I've tried to talk as fast and leave out as much as I possibly could to get to this moment, all right? So this morning, I just want to share my heart with you. If you are in need of a touch of God in a specific way, some people may know what it is in your life, and other people may have no clue. It doesn't matter. This is between you and the Lord right now, but I want people to see the needs that are in our church. I got prayer request card from our primary school teachers and administrators, and man, there were some huge needs Kelly and I were talking about in that school. Huge needs. There are huge needs in this congregation. I got good news for you. Jesus, the healer. I believe maybe today will be the day you stand in boldness and in courage, and you're going to be sitting there and your knees are going to be shaking. What will people think of me? And maybe you'll come back to this day and say, on this day, August the 9th, everything changed. Now, this is not for everybody because we all need something of Jesus. I'm talking specific. We all need more of Jesus. I'm talking specific, okay? I want to invite you before we sing our song of invitation just to stand where you are all across the building. Just stand. Who'll be first? Don't take boldness, I know it. He'll be first. Thank you. Need physical healing, spiritual, emotional. Awesome. Anybody else? Awesome. Just stand to your feet. Physical, emotional, mental. Struggling with an addiction, struggling with your marriage, struggling with your kids, struggling with a physical ailment. All over the building. Wonderful. Let's pray together. Father God, this morning, there's some people who are in need of a touch of Jesus. And oh God, there are days I wish that I had some supernatural ability to reach out and touch them. But God, I don't have to, because through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can touch them in the depths of their heart and their soul. And I pray for these that had the courage to stand, and even for those who didn't wanted to, God, you would do a healing in their life. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we as a congregation pray over these people, over Tanya, over Brother Jimmy Clark, Father, over Tony, over others in our congregation that are now standing with physical and mental challenges, emotional challenges, marriages, addictions, Father, habits, hang-ups, things they're struggling with, suicidal thoughts, whatever it may be, that by the power of Jesus Christ, that you would meet their need right where they are, and you would heal them by the power of your name, not by the power of a preacher or of a church, but the power of Jesus, and they would feel it, and it would begin now in their life. I thank you for the courage to stand. I pray you would move in their hearts and their lives. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to invite us to stand, the rest of us this morning. With every head bowed and every eye closed, let's the rest of us stand this morning. We're going to sing a worship song this morning. And it says these powerful words, "Be still, there is a healer. And his love is deeper than the sea." I want to invite you this morning to come respond to the gospel. If you need Christ as Savior, Lord, would you come this morning? If you want to come this morning, you stood this morning, you want to come to this altar, and God just put on your heart, you didn't stand, you just need to come and say, "God, I need you to heal me." Maybe you need to stand for somebody else and stand in the gap and then come and pray for them. Maybe you want to go grab somebody that's next to you or across the room and say, "I want to put my hand on you. I want to pray for you." You may have seen them standing and you want to go just say, "I don't know what's going on in your life, but I want you to know I'm going to stand in the gap for you and I'm going to pray with you right here and right now." The rest of us will worship the Lord and say, "God, speak to us," but I want to encourage you, please, don't move anywhere else other than those going to get an offering, our men, everybody else. We must be focused forward and say, "God, transform us right now. Be the healer in our life." Chris and I are at the front to receive you. This altar is open. Let's worship with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And let's respond now. Let's sing it together. Be